This edition of The Sessions at Midori House was first broadcast on October 24th, 2015 on Monocle 24.
I'll take a little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Let's do it, man.
You're listening to The Sessions at Midori House with me, Andrew Muller. Now, the observation that it's a long way from Bedford in England to Nashville in Tennessee sounds like the first line of a country song. It also describes the journey undertaken by this week's guest, Danny Nichols. Nichols' splendid new album, Mockingbird Lane, further emphasizes her credentials as both a singer and a songwriter in the finest traditions of the country music she fell for from an Atlantic Ocean away. Danny and lead guitarist Max Milligan visited Midori House to play three tracks from Mockingbird Lane.
This is Beautifully Broken.
Our cars crashed in the pouring rain, going opposite ways on Mockingbird Lane. I was searching for someone to save. You just needed someone to blame. And I wonder to this day if I should have walked away. I should have walked away. We were beautifully broken all along, like the scratch 45 of a sad love song, like empty bars come unstrung. Can't make it right when it's wrong. We were beautifully broken all along. And you came home one cloudy day with a Tiffany lamp that had a crack in the shade, 'cause you were looking for something to mend. I knew it would never light again. And I wonder to this day if it was always gonna fade. It was always gonna fade. We were beautifully broken all along, like the scratch 45 of a sad love song, like empty pearls come unstrung. You can't make it right when it's wrong. We were beautifully broken all day. Well, we tried our best to say there was nothing left to say. We were beautifully broken all along, like the scratch 45 of a sad love song, like empty pearls come unstrung. You can't make it right. We were beautifully broken all along.
Danny Nichols, welcome to The Sessions at Midori House.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First, I did want to ask, because it is a detail of your performance that may be lost on listeners rather than viewers. The guitar you were playing does have an extraordinary and unique feature, which is an extra hole below where one would normally expect to find the hole in a guitar.
Yeah.
What have you done to it?
Well, treating mean. You know, keep it keen. I don't know if that's the thing to say about guitars, but I just wore it in, you know, I just play it a lot, probably quite vigorously.
Clearly, because I mean, the only guitar I've seen in similar condition is the one that belongs to Willie Nelson, and he's had that one since Eisenhower was president. How long have you had that one?
I don't know, like 8 years, but I do play it a lot.
Clearly you play it a lot.
Yeah.
You've just released your second album, which I think is out actually literally this week.
Yes, 23rd of October. So yeah, it's been a long time coming and a lot of hard work over the past year. But yeah, it's finally out and about.
And you made it in Nashville like the album that preceded it.
Yeah, same team, Chris Donahue producing, wonderful Chris, and the same team as the first album. So yeah, it was a wonderful experience second time round as it was the first. So
I've been to Nashville a couple of times. I've not had the pleasure of making a record there. How, I would imagine it's a combination of being on the one hand quite easy because obviously that's a massive hive of people who really know what they're doing, but it must also be at least a little bit intimidating.
Hugely intimidating. Yeah, you can either, like, you know, let it defeat you, or, you know, you really have to rise up to the challenge. And hopefully that's what I did. I felt like it pushed me beyond what I thought I could, you know, to be playing with those guys who have just done so much. And but they're so lovely, you know, and just, it was like a little family, and, you know, they made me feel so welcome and reassured. So in that sense, it was easy. But when you think a bit deeper about what's going on, it could be a bit, you know, had a few freakouts, but yeah, it was an incredible experience.
This is Where the Blue Train Goes.
You left me at the station, just gone now. We kissed goodbye for the very last time. Drove away, I called out to you. Now I don't know what I'm gonna do. Ooh, I hear the train come, makes me cry when the whistle blows. Ooh, I got a tear stain tip. I don't know where the blue train goes. I don't know where the blue train goes.
As listeners will by now have gleaned, that you're not actually American, though you were recording in Nashville. You are, in fact, English. How does that play when you turn up in the heartland of, you know, country and Americana music, making music which could be broadly described as Americana, but you're not actually from there? How accommodating are they to the idea of English people coming over and singing it?
Hugely. They love it. And especially the accent. I get asked to just talk a lot. But no, I think they're just thrilled that, you know, it's got a wide reach and that people love the music and want to come there and be a part of it. I think I've only ever felt totally welcomed with open arms. I love it.
But do you have to keep, as an artist, though, recording there, do you have to keep some sort of distance between it and yourself? I guess what I'm asking, you mentioned the accent, especially. How difficult is it to avoid lapsing into the accent when you're in Nashville making country Americana music? It's hard not to drift.
I guess so, yeah. I do usually come back with a bit of a twang. And maybe, you know, I have had it said about the songs themselves that, you know, it's hard to distinguish whether I am American or English. But I don't know, it's not a conscious thing. You know, it just, if it seeps in to the music, then it's a natural seeping in. I usually come home with a bit of a drawl.
But you clearly don't have any self-consciousness about using explicitly American settings in the songs. There's songs on the album like Leaving Tennessee, Back to Memphis. Is that just because they seem like the locations that one should sing that sort of music about, or do you have a sort of repository of country songs about England that you're working up to?
I mean, I was leaving Tennessee. I was on a bus, on a mega bus going from Nashville to Atlanta and, you know, feeling very inspired. So, you know, I have lived those things. I've been to Memphis. The thing is with Memphis is, yes, it's a setting, but actually it's a universal message about, it could be said anywhere. You could, you know, back to wherever, I suppose. I wrote it in America. It was a co-write, actually. You know, it was of a moment. So I don't know if, who knows, yeah, I might write some English-based stuff in the future. Long Road Home is inspired by my hometown of Bedford. You know, it's not explicitly in the lyrics, but I do often become very inspired by England as well as America. You know, I have a love for both.
Ooh, the train keeps rolling, makes me cry when the engine slows. I got a tear-stained ticket. I don't know where the blue train goes. I don't know where the blue train goes. I'm riding on the blue train. I don't know where the blue train goes. Yeah, I'm crying on the pouring rain.
And it was, of course, in England, obviously, when you were younger that you first started listening to country music. And I'm just always interested in how people end up making that journey to the kind of music they end up making, especially if they didn't necessarily grow up in it or around it. How did it happen? What was your exposure to it?
I would say that I did grow up with that kind of music. My mum's mum, my grandmother and mother's side is a big country music fan, and you know, we'd spend so much time around the house, and there would always be cassette tapes on and records playing of always Patsy Cline, and she really loved Crystal Gayle, and there was Willie Nelson, and there was lots of rock and roll music. And actually the first piece of music I ever owned was a mixtape of rock and roll music that my uncle gave me, and I was about 6 or 7. I just played it till it, you know, it broke. And that was the first foundation of music for me, those kind of sounds. And then I did move away, you know, from that as a teenager. I didn't fully listen to country and American roots growing up in my teen years, but I came back round to it later on when I'd, you know, been through other genres and just exploring, and it just seeped back in, and it felt like home, actually. This is Long Road Home.
City lights, a tiny town by the riverside, where a castle stood, and now there's just a mound. That's where I ran from, that's where I'm bound. And it's a hard thing to do when you've roamed the world alone, to turn upon your heat and walk the long road, walk that long road back home. I ran from my people, and now they are ghosts. Those that I'm afraid of are the ones I love the most. Oh, I dread to see their sad and empty eyes they discover I've returned without the prize. And it's a hard thing to do when you've roamed the world alone, to turn upon your heel and walk the long road, walk that long road back
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guest was Danny Nichols. Her new album, Mockingbird Lane, is out now on her own label, and details of forthcoming shows can be found at www.dannynichols.com. This show was produced by Holly Fisher, mixed by Alex Funnell. I'm Andrew Muller. Thanks very much for tuning in.